Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Father Nawras, I would start by asking you if you could please give me an introduction, a little bit about yourself and how you came to be in Damascus at this time, working as you are with the JRS.
So I'm Nawras Samour, this is father. I'm in charge of the work of JRS in the region, Middle East and North Africa, which means I'm in charge of the coordination of the JRS work in Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan. So we have projects in different countries, working with different nationalities, refugees coming from different countries. But mainly now, because of the Syrian crisis, it's the most important, let's say, problem with which we deal daily. So that we work as well with Iraqi refugees in Jordan, in Syria, and in Turkey, and the refugees coming from Sudan, Somalia, you know, those countries with problems.
So you have people coming from all around the Middle East and also from Africa, who you are working with currently.
In Jordan and Turkey, yes, in Jordan and Turkey, in Lebanon, our work, and in Syria a little bit with Iraqi. We still work with Iraqi because we start working in 2008. The first project we had, it was for Iraqis after the Iraq crisis. You know, now the main work in four countries is with Syrians, but without forgetting those who are in problems as well from the past, you know, like Iraqis, like Sudanese, like people from Somalia, from Sudan, and, you know, those countries.
How is the JRS dealing with this massive influx of refugees at the moment? Do you have means in the field to help all these people?
Actually yes. It's built on, we started like everybody. I mean, in Syria, I'm talking in Syria. We started dealing with the Syrian crisis and with the big number of displaced people within Syria. Very small, you know, by the local solidarity first, and that it's not enough at all. And then we are supported by, you know, the network of church, Caritas, some kind of Caritas, and some other organizations support a lot. Our work and the Society of Jesus as well, the network of Society of Jesus, you know. Now, okay, you are able to do something, but compared to the volume and to the size of the crisis, it's a small drop in the ocean. Huh? The crisis is huge. We talk about millions of people who are in need right now. So, we try to do our best, and with a network of volunteers and the staff. So far in Syria, we have something like 500 staff and volunteers from different communities, Muslim and Christians, and we work with for everybody and with everybody in coordination with other associations, foundations, you know, initiatives, you know, based on the principles of the humanitarian work, which is neutrality, non-partiality, and working with civilians.
So, based on these principles that you have, how difficult has it been to keep safe during the course of your work since the beginning of the conflict? I imagine that things have been becoming harder and harder to cross borders, to go from one place to another. I imagine that it's not been easy at all.
Actually, yeah, my main concern is actually that the security of our fellows, our people, I would say. When they go around for procurement, for, you know, for visiting families, our family visiting or whatever, you could have mortars, you could have, you know, blasts sometimes, you could have... So that, so far, thank God, we didn't lose anybody except two people, friends, who came as volunteers only to help just for food basket, for preparing food basket. They have been killed, I think, the a blast of a car, you know, in an area in the center of Damascus, when one of those young, and the other one is held by as well a motor, you know, just as hit by you know, it's there by accident, you know. But yeah, those principles, I would say, of humanitarian work, for us, it's a conviction. We work for everybody with everybody without any discrimination, without any, you know, background or whatever, without any hesitation, you know. But it's, yeah, for us, it's a kind of warranty because since we are neutral, we have that, I mean, we are respected by everybody, and people know that we work for helping those who are in suffer, and they are without any background or any idea behind, you know.
So it's actually...
So that could be for us, that this way of working is for us a warranty. We are loved and respected for everybody, and people are really appreciate.
So actually, it's an advantage for you to be Christian and not Muslim or anything, working in this situation, because people do not assume that you have some kind of other agenda. People just let you get on with your work. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we don't have any agenda. But it's not because we are Christian, because we won't. I mean, our people who are from different religions and community, they are convinced of our principles, and they do, and of our mission. So they do that, although they are Muslim, but they do that very, very with conviction, a profound and a very big conviction. So, but we don't have agenda for sure, and because of that, we are appreciated and respected.
So you're saying that there is a real network of solidarity between all kinds of religions, who basically people who just want to help people who are suffering.
In our project, yes. Our project, yes. In our network, yes. We work with the SARC in some projects. We collaborate with SARC, FARC-SEA, and Red Crescent. You know, we work with other initiatives and foundations. Local, we work with you know, some committees, some different areas and zones for the civilians, working with the civilians or for civilians. We don't work, you know, with different groups as for military. That's not our work. It's not our business.
All right. So, have you in the course of your work found reasons to hope that that even if you are working within a drop of the ocean, that you are helping to make the daily life of Syrians a little bit better? I mean, is it easy to keep psychologically to keep going in the middle of this conflict?
I mean, we are really tired, all our volunteers, all our staff, all our friends, we are really tired, because when I'm talking about a drop in the ocean, it's about something like 30,000 families we are in touch with. You know, it's not a small number, it's something like 250,000 people, you know. But it's still small in a drop in the ocean, and still small, because at the end, eventually we help for covering some needs of those people, whether it's about food, whether it's about any kind of food items. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry.
Or for working with children, for psychosocial support, that's our main same activities, you know, there's our frame, and sometimes, yeah, we could help for the medicines and medical support for chronic diseases of civilians as well, you know.
Do you get support from outside?
In the ocean, but it's still huge and big. So the network we have of volunteers, we have something like 500 volunteers and staff to cover all those activities. and still, big and huge, But compared to the size of the problem, I would say we are not the savior, and we will never be, and we are not going to pretend to be the savior, you know.
Does the work of JRS in the field involve? Do the volunteers get preparation? For example, here in Portugal, I know that I've worked with the Jesuits before, and I always go for spiritual exercises before any kind of intervention anywhere. And this has nothing to do with Syria. These are very small activities. Do you use that kind of those kind of exercises and that kind of preparation for the people who are working?
I didn't get it because the voice was interrupted. Could you repeat, please?
What I was saying is that this is a very bad comparison on my part because I have no experience of working in a war zone. But I know mm-hmm. that when I work with the Jesuits here in Portugal and when I work on their projects, we always have mm-hmm. a preparation which involves some conferences, some spiritual exercises, some experience with people. Do you do that with your volunteers? Does that make a part of
it? I mean, just like for taking care of our own people, you say, just to actually, we used to have some expert in counseling, spiritual and psychological, you know, for helping those who are in need. But now, really, we don't have enough time to be, let's say, useful or to be in service of our own staff and all our own friends, volunteers, which is pity. But because the pace of events is very, very, really, the velocity it's really speed and very, very much quick. So I'm not able to face always in the same rhythm. That's why we are really tired. And I would say, yes, our people are tired. Now we just came back from all of them from holidays. We start activities for 2 weeks, and I asked them to go to their own village to be in somewhere, some places who are somehow calm, relatively calm, you know, just, which was good.
It's
and some of our people as well, they went to Lebanon and we tried to have like a guest house for our people, you know, in JRS, just to help them, you know, to recover a little bit, to take a breath, you know, a fresh breath. I wish it could help, and they came back just last week for starting the activities in different projects, but now because of after the chemical problem, now it's very tense. So we start activities again, and we are waiting to see what the consequences at the beginning of the next week. So we'll see till Monday. If it's still time, we are going to restart our projects and our activities. So I would say yes, kind of holidays, kind of day offs for people. When you see someone who's really tired, you ask him to leave. And to have, you know, just 2 or 3 days just to evacuate that pressure, you know, we have that spiritual exercises. Last year we did, yes, but this year it was impossible to find time.
I imagine.
You know, for me, my own spiritual exercises, I did it a month ago. It was for me as well as my holiday, you know, just to, which, who know, people who know a little bit the exercise, especially exercise, they know very much it's not a holiday. It's, you know...
It's very hard.
It's inner battle. It's very inner battle.
It's
not something very, you know... But still, yeah, we did something like that, but in very, very small scale, I would say.
Can I ask you, these families that the JRS are helping to survive, basically, I mean, I imagine that the least someone can do is try and find small daily solutions to small daily problems, because as you said, the pace is very fast and things are changing very quickly.
Yeah.
Have you seen signs of hope in the middle of this crisis, or is it hard to see how this is going to happen, how this is going to develop in the future?
In very, very, very realistic way of seeing the reality, of seeing things and the events, I would say, in a very rational way, I would say there's nothing to do, you know, really nothing to do. But that's in a realistic way. As a Christian, I would say there's a lot of things to do. Not a lot. Everything should be redone, I would say. You know? And there's nothing to do. So the same, in other words, I would say, everything should be redone. So from that point of view, I would say, yeah, we are in our place, and we try to do something and to make the change, to make the difference. Without venting ourselves and without saying that we are the best, it's not that reality. We try to do our best, we try. And as a signs of hope for me, to see the young people, our volunteers from different communities, from different religions, from different belongings, social belongings, cultures, from different ethnies, from different even political point of view, you know, and they are able to work together. And because of the crisis, they somehow founded in their own life a capacity of being a human in service for others and with others. That's a great, you know. And somehow it's like some Paul in his letter to Romans, when there's an abundance of sin, there's I don't know how to say that in English. In French, do you speak French?
A little bit.
Là il y a une abondance du péché, il y a surabondance de la grâce. It means where there's abundance of sin, much more abundance of grace, let's say. So I would say yes, from that point of view, from faith point of view, in the faith, let's say, side, I would say yes, there's a lot of signs of hope for me, especially our volunteers, our people who work, who are really committed, who are very generous, who are really, you know, and the hope I could see in the eyes of children with whom we work. And they are able to be creative, despite of all difficulties, children. You know, when they are in they are going to perform, you know, to perform a drama or whatever, or drawing or singing or playing or even studying, I could see hope, yeah. From that point of view, yeah, I would say that's fine. But politically speaking, militarily speaking, and completely, I would say there's nothing to do. But in spite of that, we have to do everything, how to redo everything, if you like.
Father Navras, you are from Aleppo, is that right?
I'm originally from Aleppo, but I'm based in Damascus, and I go around visiting our projects in different countries and cities, yes.
So you're seeing something happen in your own country. You're not somebody who is from the outside. This is happening in your own country, in your own land. And I imagine that for you it is especially difficult to see this happening to your brothers, which is basically what's happening.
Exactly. When I used to work with Iraqis and other refugees in the past, before 2011 in Syria, I would say, God knows, I was trying to do my best for helping, I mean, for doing my part, for accomplishing and my mission. The mission which given to me by the society. But now it's something different. It's about my own people, it's about my family, it's about my friends, it's about my country, it's about my history, it's about, the feeling is different. The feeling is different. I wouldn't say that in the past I was a little bit, partially working. No, but the feeling now, it's completely different from the past. Now it's about my own life, let's say. My whole life.
How do you see possible? You were saying that next week you are going to regroup with all your co-workers and everybody who works for the TRS.
Could you repeat again? It's interrupted.
Sorry. I was asking how do you view a possible intervention by the Western powers, by the United States? Do you think that this is a good? A good idea for there to be a Western intervention in Syria? I'm not even talking about political questions. I'm just asking if this will help Syrians or if this is just going to make the whole situation worse.
At all, it's not going to help. It's going to help in nothing. It's going to, I'd say, it's going to escalate. It would. You know, the violence, you know, that. I mean, it's not going to be the solution at all. I will say, I'm not able to say that war could bring something, could bring a solution. It could finish maybe a problem, but not for long time. It could finish problem, yeah. When you kill people, it could finish problem. But it's not the whole problem. It's not going to be the solution. So, I'm convinced, and this is my deeper conviction, that if there's a solution, it should be political through dialogue. That's the only solution, through dialogue only. It's not about force. Force is not going to give any solution. It's not going to make the difference. So whether by Americans or by others or by the Western world, or by the West or by the East, I couldn't understand that it could be the solution. And besides that, even though, I mean, it's not my case, I couldn't imagine that a Syrian could hope that the solution could come from outsider force to help him by wolves. I mean, it's still someone who's foreigners coming for doing the war in our own country for giving solution. I mean, I couldn't imagine. It's too difficult to imagine that for me.
I have just one more question. My last question is about the work the Pope has been trying to do with leaders of government in the Middle East. To try and open a way for dialogue. Do you think that the Pope has any kind of way to help when he talks? For example, yesterday he had a meeting with the King of Jordan. Does this bring you any kind of hope? Does this sound like a good idea?
I would say that's the paradox of our postmodern society. When it's about the problems, everybody thinks that the church have something to say or to do, which is excellent. I would say the opposite. But when it's about problems, so yes, I could see if there's nothing, if it's not like that, if it's the opposite, it couldn't be the church. The church has always something to say and has always something to give to the world as a source of hope. This is the gospel. And the God, this is the moment for me anyway, and for us Christian of